From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the Night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and well, alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever spooky, ever cape wearing, and what are you wearing on your face tonight? The heartthrob of Bob After Dark. Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. How's it going? Of course, the veil, Bob, is at its thinnest here.
You know, and you could get away with saying that.
Can I?
You can.
Is it at its thinnest, though?
It's, well, technically Saturday, but right now, for Bob After Dark's sake, you can argue that it is at its thinnest.
Well, I think it's at its thinnest for sure. So in the honor of the veil being at its thinnest, I decided to dress up a little bit. Yeah, dress up a little bit for Halloween. I got a mask on. Now, don't ask me what you call these kinds of masks, Bob. I think it's like the Eyes Wide Shut mask or something like that.
good reference, Galpatic.
But, you know, you see them in movies. You see them in TV shows. You see them all the time. And I figure, well, I have one laying around. Not for those types of parties, of course. But I have them. have one laying around. If the season or event calls upon it, I think, oh, like right now, at this time here, as we sit here on October, what is it, October 27th, something like that.
28th.
The veil.
Count.
2020, the veil, of course, being at its thinnest. I figure, why not wear it for the old Bob After Dark? Well, I guess we're going to call this the Halloween special.
This is the Halloween special of Bob After Dark, and we have a very special guest that we're going to get to here in just a moment that's going to be blowing your minds tonight. Real quick, I have to give a quick shout out about my Halloween costume.
Oh, yes. Okay, what are you dressed up as, Bob? Here, I was
so initially, I was dressed as a sitcom dad.
Uh-huh.
And I got yelled at by my manager saying I wasn't spooky enough.
What?
So I threw on the Bob After Dark work shirt, my investigative shirt, to wear over my Halloween costume.
So wait, now, that's like when a mom tells a child to put the coat on over their Halloween costume.
I was told I had to spooky up my Halloween costume tonight. But yeah. I was my sitcom dad. That was what I was going for. I was like, sweater and jeans, and I was going to make a whole jingle, and I was told I wasn't spooky enough
for the
Halloween costume.
I got it right away, right when you walked into the door there, Bob. I thought, that's a spooky sitcom dad there. And I noticed mask is probably going to give me problems all night, so we'll see how long it really lasts before I take it
excellent.
Off.
All right, let's pass it over to our special guest of this evening.
Hold making on, one his... second. Wait for him to get back on camera here.
Oh, okay.
there we go.
Is he back?
Yep.
All right, making his triumphant return to the Bob After Dark universe, the master of the mystical arts himself, and a dear friend of mine, Joe Diamond.
Thank you. I forgot to put on my costume. Can you see these?
Are those ears?
Radio.
They look like ears, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're also on the Facebook Live world, too, there, Joe.
Okay, good. We're on Facebook Live. So it's pretty obvious, based by the horns, that I am dressed as a presidential candidate.
Which one? We don't know.
Insert your own joke here. That's what's great about that.
Joe, what the heck are you holding? Because that is my absolute worst nightmare.
Oh. Bob.
Who are you holding that absolute nightmare?
This is my best friend, Flora.
Oh, you have, that's your best friend.
She's my best friend, yes.
All right, for our podcast listeners, it is literally
look at that thing.
My worst nightmare, folks. He is holding a curly-haired doll with a white face, and it looks like black eyes. And
her name is Flora.
Hi, Flora. Oh, boy.
She's a little bit broken, just like me, but hers is on the outside, mine is on the inside.
Together, you guys become one there. But look, that is terrifying,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah,
look
we
at that.
We make a good dynamic duo couple. So, Flora likes Halloween because it's the only time of year where she seems normal.
She's missing an eye, too, Bob. You notice
that? That's great, guys. You know, Joe, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the My greatest fear in life is dolls. So the one thing you decide to do when you come on the show is hold up Flora. Oh. So, oh
she's
boy.
She's not a doll. She's a figurine.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fun story about how her and I met too, which we can get into.
Absolutely. But before we get to you, how Joe met Flora, let's talk a little bit about who you are, Joe, because it's been a while since we've seen you last. And for the new fans of Bob After Dark and for your fans that might be joining us here, Joe, who are you and what do you do?
Well, my name is Joe Diamond. Some call me a mind reader. Some call me a mentalist. I'm not a medium. I'm a large. Okay. Pandemic extra large.
The COVID-18.
I'm a 33-year-old man who still plays with dolls. I like long walks on the beach, and I'm a Sagittarius.
Ah, excellent. That's great.
I make my living with the strange and mysterious. I've done mind reading shows in a haunted mansion, which Bob, you've been to a couple times.
Yes.
At the Dole Mansion, I've been doing lately during the pandemic. I've been doing corporate mind reading shows from the comfort of my home, and it's been a blast because I get to read minds of people all over, from New York to Colorado to San Francisco, and sometimes all in one day or even on the same Zoom meeting or virtual meeting. And I'm also a world record holder for solving the world's largest corn maze blindfolded.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Are you elevator pitch for right now for not being in an elevator?
You will have another record, Joe.
Yeah.
You are the first world record holder to be on Bob After Dark.
Oh, sweet. All right. I'll take it.
So how hard was it to walk through the maze, Joe? Did you run in any corn?
So my record is because I solved it in 2 hours and 50 minutes. And whether I'm blindfolded or not, I am actually the record holder for just time to solve it, to get all 24 checkpoints and everything. So it doesn't matter if I was blindfolded or not. I hold the record for just solving it the quickest. So the average time is about 4.5 hours, and I got through it in 2 hours and 50 minutes. And when people ask how it was, very dark, because I was blindfolded.
Sure.
And I had a reporter from the local newspaper there, and she was holding onto my wrist, and she had a map in her hand with a hole punch. Because the way it works is you have to go to 24 checkpoints, and each one has a different shape. A hole punch, so you'd have to punch it out on that particular hole on your card, and when you turn it in saying I got through all 24, they verify and give you the certificate. And so I led the way. I tried to read her mind, get a sense of the maze through her eyes, and try and solve it all at the same time. And that was 10 years ago already, and I was debating at the beginning of the year to do a 10-year, you know, see if I can beat the record, but with everything else crazy going on in the world, I said, I'll stay home this year. I'll hold the record. I don't think too many people are going to try and beat that record for me this year.
That's fair. You might have to defend the title someday. We might send Count Panic out there.
I have to.
Count, you're pretty good at getting lost, right?
Oh, all the time. I don't even need a maze for that one. I just I get lost randomly no matter where I'm at, so no problem.
Now, folks, quick disclaimer. I don't get amazed very often about things like this, but Joe is the real deal. If there is anybody in the world you can believe that has like legitimate mystical powers, there's a reason why I dub Joe the master of the mystical arts, is because it's Joe Diamond. This man blows my mind, and I legitimately, like I said, it takes a bit, but like my first showing with Joe, the first like 5 minutes I did it during his live set, just mind-blowing, 1000%. And the last time we had him on the show, it was last year, the year before? Last year, definitely last year. And Joe was able to do, it was me, Steve, and Panic all at once. And Joe was able to, like, do all three of us with tricks and stuff. So, trust me, guys, if you get a moment to check out Joe's stuff.
Mind tricks, that sounded a lot dirtier than.
Oh, boy, it wasn't my intention.
But just in case, I was reading the
It's a family show, Bob, come on, it's a family show.
He kept all three guys entertained with tricks.
Family show, Bob.
I don't want you to get those emails, Bob.
Oh boy. Joe's got jokes, guys. Joe also doubles as a stand-up comedian, if you guys didn't realize. So Joe, I gotta ask because people are bugging me about it. What's with Flora? How did Joe meet Flora? Like when Harry met Sally?
So So you came to see me at the Dole Mansion.
Yes.
When you saw me, and for those of you, those listeners who don't know, the Dole Mansion is a building in Crystal Lake, Illinois, that used to belong to one of the Ringling Brothers' wives, and it's now an arts park. There's painters, musicians, photographers, and a mind reader. As far as I know, only one, me. A fun fact about Lou Ringling, the woman who owned the building, she was Al Ringling's widow. When she was in the circus, she started as a ticket taker, then became a snake charmer, then was part of a mind reading act. So I'm the weirdo in that building carrying on her legacy. And they have an arts event each month. The fourth Friday of each month, they have a different themed art event. Well, the last few years, it's been a show called Dangerous Lullabies, where they've got different spooky pieces of artwork, everything from paintings to 3D sculptures. And they had a woman whose company name was Day of the Dollies. And she brought in 100 different refurbished creepy dolls. And Flora was the least creepy one. I'll send you some photos at some point here, Bob, of some of the other photos. Dolls. Flora was the least creepy one. And I felt connected to her the moment she looked how I felt on the inside. So I bought her right then and there on the spot. She had a little price tag on her wrist with a tag that said, Flora with the price. So I bought her, and they asked if I would leave her on display for the rest of the art show that month. I said, yeah, absolutely. So I came home and showed my fiance, who is wonderful for many reasons, but particularly for this audience. She's wonderful because we are getting married on Friday the 13th next month.
Oh, happy early wedding.
Thank you, thank you. And I love her because I came home, I showed her pictures of Flora, and she said, oh, well, is she going to stay, come home, or is she going to stay at the studio? And I was like, I don't know. She's kind of cool. I might bring her home. She goes, well, if you keep her at the studio, she's a tax write-off. And I was like, this is why I love you. This is find yourself a girl like that. So I always watch 31 horror movies at least every October. So Lindsay wanted to choose the movie that night, and she just chose out of the pile of movies this. This is The Innocents. If you've seen The Haunting of Bly Manor, this is based on the Taming of the Turning of the Screw, not the Taming of the Screw, the Turning of the Screw, which that show is also based on. And if you've seen the show, you know the name of the little girl in the story is named Flora. So that's kind of a weird coincidence, two Floras the same day. And Flora's not a common name.
No.
So we watch the movie. Lindsay goes to bed immediately after the movie. She's a freak. I love her. And I'm up, so I decide to watch another movie. And I have all the Universal Monster movies. And part of the reason I love them is because they're all 70 minutes, You can put one on after another movie and it's still not too late, or you can watch two in a row, whatever. But they're all the same length. So I just mixed them all up and chose one at random. And the one I chose at random was H.G. Wells's The Invisible Man. Oh. And I don't know if you remember this or not, Bob, but the name of the love interest in this movie is also named Flora.
Yes. Huh.
So that's three Floras in the span of about 8 hours. I know it's not technically a ghost story, but the words coincidence story just don't have the same ring to it. So that's how I absolutely knew Flora was, Flora and I were meant to be best buds forever and ever. And she is making her debut in one of my shows, both of my shows on Halloween night. And I've been bringing her with to different podcast recordings and radio shows and media stuff this month, because she, she's been just stuck in the studio these last few years. So she wants to get out and meet more people.
Yeah, she definitely needs to get out more. And thanks for bringing a figurine, as you call her, on the show there, Joe. It's as if you knew that I have an underwhelming fear
around her. Don't say the D word.
Fair enough. So, Joe, are you going to be granting us some of your magical abilities here? Because
sure. I actually we'll do one in a little bit, because if people want to follow along with us, they can get a deck of cards. Did you get one by any chance?
Count and I both have a deck of cards.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, Flora is going to summon her mental powers for that. I'm just going to set her over here for now, and she'll be back later. But if everyone else wants to play a card game with Flora, you just need a deck of cards. It does not have to be a full deck, and it doesn't have to be a playing card deck. It can be a tarot deck.
Well, we're playing. We're not playing deck. With a full deck here. That's for sure.
Yeah, good job,
exactly,
count there.
Exactly. So it's A-OK. And Bob, you and I are going to try a long distance test of extrasensory perception to start things off.
Okay.
So, I chose this specifically for you because of what a conversation we've had a couple times.
Sure.
Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're a big Ghostbusters fan. You dress up. You've talked with
everybody,
cast members.
Yeah.
So I actually have from that movie, not the actual props from the movie, but I have ESP cards for testing extrasensory perception. And as someone who's into weird things, you know, these are actual things.
Yes.
Developed by J.B. Ryan at Duke University.
Mm-hmm.
When we're done with this, I can share a fun little story about Duke University and J.B. Ryan. But for those of you who don't know, there are five symbols. There is a square, a plus sign, a star, a circle, and bacon. Okay, it's through 80 lines, but like
it's bacon.
And each symbol is repeated five times, making a total of 25 different designs.
Yes.
And we're not going to test my ESP, Bob. We're going to test yours.
Oh, boy. Real quick,
in
folks.
In the laboratory, it's okay. In the laboratory, they would isolate one symbol in a box, and they would lock it up. I don't have a big like metal box for that, so I'm just going to isolate one in the box. I don't know if the mic picked it up, but you can hear. One is in the box, and I'll show you what it is in a moment.
Real quick,
math lesson, Bob.
Sorry.
I know math is boring, but it's important for this.
No, absolutely.
25 cards. Five cards repeated five times. I just put one of them in the box, which means there's 24 cards left in the deck.
Right.
So far, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Out of those 24, only four match what's in the box, which means, Bob, you have a 1 in 6 chance of getting this right. The odds aren't in your favor, but they're not impossible odds.
Okay.
Bob, can you see me on your screen? It's okay if not.
Oh, I can. By the way, folks, Joe is not in the studio with me. Joe's doing this remotely Zoom, so there's no funny business. This is all remote.
So, Bob, reach out and with your finger,
uh-huh.
touch your screen, touch the deck through your screen. Just put your finger on the deck.
Okay.
And take a deep breath. As you exhale, just get a couple numbers in your mind lower than 20. Just a couple numbers, some one-digit numbers, some two-digit numbers. It's totally up to you. Take one more deep breath. And as you exhale, name the number that you want me to count off. Name, just say a number out loud.
Six.
Six. So I'm counting down to the sixth symbol, okay? So this is number one. This is number two. And you can see them all as they're going by, right?
Yes.
This is number three. This is number four. Number five would have been a star, and number six is the one you wanted, which is the bacon. And I want you to see, you could have said another number and gotten something different, but you set the wavy lines, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Hey,
stop.
Wow. Right out there.
That is a perfect match. You got the wavy lines absolutely perfect. Doesn't believe us, they can watch the video back later and see that was the only card in the box.
No,
Bob,
yeah.
As you know, in the Ryan experiments, they would do this 500 times.
Yeah.
To determine if someone was psychic, which means you and I only have to do this
499 more times, and you could keep your $5, mister.
Yeah. Maybe we should quit while we're at it.
That's amazing.
Well, we're getting ready there, Bob. You want to take a phone call here?
Absolutely. Who do we have on the line?
I got John here.
John, you're on the air. Happy Halloween.
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody. How's things going?
Doing good, John. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I got two questions for Joe, and then I'll listen. Hang up and listen.
Joe can hear John okay?
I can hear John perfectly.
Okay. Hey, Joe, at what age and how did you discover this uniqueness that you have for reading minds, number one?
Okay.
And number two, what are the reactions of the minds that you've read? You know, were they, you know, amazed?
How old did I start and what are the reactions? Before I answer those, I'm going to ask you one question. I just turned over a card and a deck of cards. Again, I'll keep it in frame so Bob can see it. Before I answer your two questions, could you just name any playing card? Not the Ace of Spades, not the Queen of Hearts, but just name a playing card for me.
Not a spades or a heart?
Not an ace.
Not the Ace of Spades or Queen of Hearts. It can be a spade, it can be a heart. It's not the Ace of Spades or Queen of Hearts.
How about a Jack of Spades?
The Jack of Spades? You sure?
Right.
That's interesting, because in this deck, I'm going to keep the deck in frame so everyone can verify. I turned one card over, and you're just over the phone. Like, I don't even know where in the world you're calling from.
Oh,
what?
Tell me.
No way.
Even though you're a caller.
Oh. Oh.
That was good.
John, he pulled the deck card literally right out of the deck. Like, the card, the
it
box.
The only
oh,
card
my.
Turned over.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's true. So,
oh, wow, I'm gonna have to, you know, I'm gonna have to watch. So, I was watching, but I'm calling it, so I can't. I can't.
So, John, to answer your second question, reactions like Bob's, and that's why I did that. And to answer the first question, I got started at a very young age. My great grandmother taught me how to play cards, but she also taught me how to read cards, just like tarot cards. Like, that's why I use playing cards so much. But I also like read books on magic and, you know, UFOs, crop circles. And the great thing about those books, when you're reading them at like age 5, 6, 7 years old, they have big long words in them. So by the time I got to a second grade, I had a 12th grade reading level, which sounds impressive, but I still have a 12th grade reading level. So peaked early. And I'll tell this story very briefly. I do not remember this story. I was maybe 5 or 6. This is the story the way my grandmother tells it. My grandmother says I was sitting on the porch reading H.G. Wells's The Invisible Man, you know, like a 6-year-old does. And all the other kids are running around and they all like run into each other, tackle each other, pile on top of each other, get up and run away. And apparently I saw all this happen. I looked up from my book, saw it all happen, looked up at my grandmother and just said, where do they get the energy? I'm an old soul. I've always been a little bit of a weirdo, I guess. I don't look it. I look like a regular guy. But yeah, and like reactions, again, I've had people, I've been slapped on stage. That's always weird when it happens. It's happened more than once. I've been hugged too. I've been hugged more than I've been slapped. That's good. And it was, they weren't like mad. They were just like, ah, just, you know, hit me in the face or the arm or something. If you go to @ShowDiamondLive on Instagram, I have actually whole reaction compilations of each year of 2018, 2019, and now 2020. And if you want to see the variety of reactions of people, you know, I've had people laugh. I've had people cry sometimes. I've had people hug me. I've had people run away. So if you want to see a lot more of the variety of different kinds of actions or reactions I get to see, you can check that out on Instagram too.
Well, that's very interesting. I'm always amazed at stuff like that you do. That's very interesting.
Thank you.
So I appreciate you sharing that with me, and congratulations on your wedding on the 13th.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, everyone's like, aren't you worried? And I'm just like, it's 2020. What else is going to happen?
Thanks for calling in, John.
Especially on the 13th.
Yeah. So. Also, it turns out if you want to have a small, less than 20-person wedding on Friday the 13th during a pandemic, you get a deal on the room.
Turns out. Well, no, I'm already past that stage. So,
fair enough.
Take care.
Have a good night, John. Joe, that blew my mind.
I mean, he just called in and, you know.
It's just
how did he know? How did he do that?
That's the other thing, too, which I'll totally admit. I've, for one of my shows, I actually close with someone calling someone on the phone and me doing something with them on the phone. I've been doing that since I was a teenager, with people calling them on cell phones. So now whenever people ask me, like, how do you translate to do, because I've been doing shows, mind-reading shows over Zoom for companies and doing ticketed shows and everything. People ask, well, how does it work? And it's like, well, I already had 15 years experience reading minds at great distance, you know, virtually. And I didn't get to see them. Now I get to see them, so I can do even more, which is kind of fun.
I was going to ask you real quick before you move on. Have you noticed was it hard to adapt from like an in-person audience to a Zoom like audience, or did you just catch on kind of real quick because you have the experience with it?
It, Well, yeah, well, doing, well, as you know, I did a radio show for a number of years as well.
Right.
And there's a live stream element to it. So when it first happened, I did 3 1-hour live streams of all different material on Facebook, where I couldn't even bring people live because I just wanted to see what worked, what didn't. And I asked people, you know, what was your favorite part and everything. And I started, because I figured the one intuition I did know was a lot of people are going to be stuck in a lot of boring virtual meetings now. And if I can make those meetings not boring, then that's a big value I can offer. And again, like I had a fearful intuition of Halloween too. So I was like, well, I can't not do anything on Halloween when it's on a Saturday and daylight savings time. So I started working on the Halloween show like right away. And I've got 2 shows this Saturday. One of them has only a few tickets left. If people are interested, they can go to joediamondlife.com and click on the banner at the top of the homepage. But like that whole hour show is different from the 1-hour corporate show I've been doing. So I've actually developed 2 hours of virtual material. Now, I'll be totally honest. Some of the stuff I did plugged right in. Like the thing I've done with ESP cards, I've done in person for people. Again, I've had people, you know, call someone on the phone and I've tried to read their mind over the phone. So a lot of this stuff I have done a lot already. But then finding out like, oh, this is a new environment. The coolest thing I'll say about virtual, which I love, is that everyone can see everyone's reactions, which I do have in the studio space because everyone's kind of sat in a circle around the room and I'm kind of in the middle. So everyone can see each other. But like in a theater, in a traditional theater, when I've done shows, if someone's jaw hangs open, well, only the people in the front row, in the rows in front of that person is going to see it. Everyone else just sees the back of them. And now on Zoom, everyone sees everyone else's screen. So if you see someone laugh or someone freak out, or I've had people go, no way, rip off their headphones and run away. And like, again, because we see everyone, everyone gets to see it. And I can kind of interact with everyone at once. They don't have to watch me just interact with one person. Like I can do, there's parts in the show that involve everybody. I actually start off the Halloween show with an interactive seance where everyone's doing pendulums and energy tests and everyone can follow along at the same time. And we can see who gets different results right off the bat. It's not just, you know, me bringing on one person and doing something with them. It's an interactive, collaborative experience with everybody who's watching.
Absolutely. And folks, again, I can't stress enough about how much, when the world goes back to normal, you need to see Joe live, first off. Second off, you guys get in touch with the Zoom world.
I'm giving you an exclusive here, Bob. This Saturday, I'm announcing my brand new weekly virtual show. So anyone can watch me from anywhere in the world. We're going to be doing some shows in November and December, and then starting in January, it will be a weekly. So anyone can watch from anywhere in the world and interact. It will be limited, just like my live shows, to 13 screens. Mm. Normally it's 13 people, but this is going to be 13 screens. So if you've got 3 or 4 people in your household, you can all get together and watch together. And again, everyone will be interacted with and everyone will be a part of the show. And so, again, that'll all be listed on joediamondlife.com. But I'll give you the exclusive, Bob After Dark exclusive. The show is going to be called Parapsychology, an online psychic experience.
That's the best name I have ever heard. I love it.
Awesome.
No.
So yeah, so some of what we're doing tonight will be part of that, but same thing. It'll be a completely different show than what I'm doing this Saturday for Halloween too. So.
All right, Joe, before we move back on the floor here, because we are a paranormal show, and you and I have discussed this before, I'm curious where you stand in the paranormal spectrum. Do you... skeptic, believer, kind of in the middle? I know you like to say you're not a medium. So where does Joe Diamond lie? Because I've done your sessions with your tarot reading, but your fortune tellings before, and you're very brilliant at it. So where does Joe Diamond lie in the spectrum? And is there a paranormal experience that you can recall that stands out to you? Because I do know the Dole Theaters or Dole Mansion's extremely haunted. So is there something that stands out to you? Anything like that?
So, you know what? I'm going to, I wasn't planning on it, but you set me up so perfectly for it. I'm just going to read to you something from this book. It's called Verla Ventura's Paranormal Parlor. Have you read any of her books yet, Bob?
I have not, no.
She's awesome. In fact, remind me to introduce you to her, because I had her on my radio show, and she's awesome.
Okay.
She's written books on mermaids, fairies, werewolves, banshees, all this stuff. So this is a collection of all these different ghost stories, and she asked me to contribute one.
Oh, look at this. I'm getting read to, too, folks.
So I'll let you buy the book to read her very wonderful introduction of me. I quote her on my website, so if someone wants to look it up, you can see that. But I am just going to read it word for word from the book. I did tell her the story, and she transcribed it, and she turned it into a cohesive narrative, because I can ramble sometimes. It's just two pages. It's just this.
Sure, no problem.
But you'll realize why I'm going to read it, because it is called Joe Diamond and the Case of the Haunted Tarot Deck.
Oh.
I have a dear friend, Angel, who I stay with every time I travel to Florida, which is at least once a year for a regular gig. She is a close friend, and I always look forward to seeing her and her husband. She has a tarot deck that belongs to her family, but its origins are unknown. It has been around for multiple generations, and her family lore says something about it belonging to an aunt, but no one really knows for sure. Angel has a few decks and reads the tarot, but for whatever reason, this particular deck she inherited has always made her feel a little uneasy. Before she moved, she decided she would at last get rid of the deck. She tried, she left it behind in the old apartment, but somehow it showed up in a box packed away at her new house. Numerous times over the years, she has tried to get rid of it, even throwing it away in the garbage, and yet somehow the deck would always reappear in a drawer or on top of a bookshelf. Naturally, I volunteered to take this odd deck off her hands. I told her if she really wants rid of it, I'll gladly take it next time I'm down there. So when I arrived for my visit in 2012, she greeted me with the deck and a hug. And since I was serious, she said I should take it now just to get it out of her house. She went back inside. I took the deck and slipped it into the back passenger seat pocket of my car, where I usually keep a notebook or two and a book. And it's a book I'm usually reading for easy reference. My friend was in the house during this and did not see where I put this deck. We enjoy our visit for the week, and then the time comes for me to leave. I get about 2 hours drive down the road when Angel calls me and says, "Very funny, Joe." I have no idea what she's talking about. And I tell her as much. "The deck, Joe, on the bed. Very funny."
Oh.
I insist I don't know what she means. And then she explains to me that she went into the room I was staying in to change the sheets. She found the tarot deck there on the pillow. Thinking I was pranking her, she called me right away. I, on the other hand, hadn't thought much about the deck that whole week and hadn't touched it since I put it in my car that first day. I told her I was close to a rest stop and would pull over and look in the backseat pocket for the deck. I do, and it is not there.
That's weird.
It gets weirder.
Oh.
Now, Bob, you know, I travel quite a bit.
Yeah.
Driving up to 6 to 8 hours for gigs on a regular basis. So I spend a lot of time in my car. On average, 12 to 18 hours a week in my car. So consequently, I clean it out pretty thoroughly every couple months. And that particular pocket is kind of my go-to, where I keep current notes because I'm sitting in the driver's seat.
You can reach.
I'm parked. I can easily reach in and grab stuff. So 1 year later, in 2013, while making preparations for the same trip, the same engagement in Florida, and planning to stay with Angel and her family again, I was cleaning out my car, readying for the trip. I reached in that backseat pocket and in it found a single tarot card, the Knight of Cups.
Oh.
I immediately called Angel and asked where all the cards in her tarot deck, and what is the pattern on the back of the cards. She described the pattern and insisted that the deck was intact. I asked her to check again. A few minutes later, she called back and said it was in fact missing a card, the Knight of Cups. And add to that, based on my birth sign, this is actually my signifier card. When I finally arrive at her house, I give her the card, and she tells me that the tarot deck is missing. She can't find it anywhere. We look all over the house, and the deck never turns up. Before I shared this story with Varla, I called Angel once more just to make sure she was okay with me sharing it, and I implored her to tell me if this was actually an elaborate prank. I told her I would give her kudos for the greatest prank in history if it was. But she insisted she had nothing to do with it. I trust her with my life, and I know she is telling the truth. While it's possible that the card somehow stayed in the pocket unnoticed, perhaps tucked in between the pages of a book or something, and that somehow, after a year of trips and cleaning, it went unnoticed, that still doesn't explain how the deck got out of my car and back into her house. The odds are really pretty astronomical. In fact, the odds are so astronomical that in my mind, they are the equivalent of an astral projecting tarot card. I used to be a much bigger skeptic, but over the years, experiences like this have made me far less skeptical because somehow the universe dealt me the greatest sleight of hand I had ever seen.
That's insane. Thank you for sharing that.
That's where I kind of stand. Now, I will say this very briefly. Let's take the skeptic's approach for just one moment with not just this story, but every single ghost story, every single paranormal story, every single religious experience in all of human history. Let's just say for a brief moment, it's all imagination, it's all coincidence, it's all our brains finding and making these connections. That's more mysterious. And also, when you think about it, more disturbing if no one is pulling the strings to make these things happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, if it's all happening on its own, you take the full James Randi, you know, right? May he rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he now realizes how wrong he is, and I'll just leave it at that. but, like, yeah, like, all of that. Like, if it's all, everything everyone has ever experienced, that shows how powerful our brains are. Our minds are amazing to be able to create all this, just to craft a spooky story, to make the hairs on the back of your hand or the back of your neck stand up. Like, the fact that we can do that, it doesn't matter if the story's true or not, the fact that we still have that experience is in and of itself an amazing and miraculous occurrence.
Yeah. You know, I have a paranormal experience with Joe Diamond I'd like to share.
Really?
So, Queen of Night and I went up to Joe's residency. He had a residency at a restaurant, and I surprised Queen of the Night. We went up and saw Joe. He performs at this restaurant.
Me too.
Yeah, it was a surprise for everybody. We went up and surprised Joe one night, and this restaurant's got it's a beautiful restaurant. Gorgeous scenery. You get to look out and see, you know, beautiful tree line in Wisconsin. And we get up there, we're sitting down, and there's just this really odd feeling throughout the entire evening. And we're sitting down eating, Joe's entertaining the crowd, comes by, says hi to us, you know, does a few tricks with us. And throughout the evening, this light bulb above us flickers every once in a while. Whenever I mention, there's this weird, just this off feeling. And this light bulb would flicker, I can't remember if it was 5 or 6 times, but it would flicker 5 or 6 times at a time. And I didn't tell Joe about the flickering light, or at least the number, because it was, you know, you'd think that if the light bulb's loose or going out, that it would start blinking on and off. Yeah, throughout the evening starts to wind down. The more guests are leaving. I'm having a couple drinks. We're just enjoying it because now we can spend a little bit more time with Joe. Joe's a colleague of mine in the world of entertainment mm-hmm. and the paranormal, so we could chat a little bit. And Joe sits down with this wonderful fortune-telling spirit-talking device called a spirit bottle. The idea is that he hangs a pendulum from a bottle and we sit down and, you know, energy's supposed
inside
to
inside the bottle.
Inside the bottle.
Touch it, there's no wind.
Yeah, no. So we sit down and the pendulum starts clinking on the bottle, depending on how many times
on
it clinks. Yeah, it clinks in the bottle in a certain amount of times, it's supposed, you know, depending on the fortune, right? I kid you not. Again, Joe has no idea this is going on with the flickering lights, and it's happening in an actual light. Yes, this is life, by the way, Chris. So we hear the dinging, and the dinging matches up with the exact number of times that the lights were flickering, which was 5 or 6. I can't remember the exact time. And I asked Joe, I say, hey, Joe, what's the number 6 mean? And, you know, he says, well, it means that there's a woman here watching over you. Or there's a woman here watching you. And I said, well, that's bizarre because the entire evening, the light bulb above me has been flickering, you know, 5 or 6 times. at the end of the evening, we're getting ready to leave. And the bartender, you know, we're talking to the bartender, just kind of whatever. And bartender tells me, well, guess what? The bar is haunted by an older woman that hangs out at this restaurant. So that's a legitimate paranormal experience I had with Joe Diamond as a personal one-on-one. We have a caller, Panic.
We do. Somebody that Joe astounded just now. We got Chris on the line.
Hey, Chris, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you all doing tonight?
Doing good. What's on your mind, Chris?
Hey, this is a wild show. I'm watching it with my wife, and pretty entertaining. But so that trick with the ESP cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I say I'm going to pick one. So I just picked the wavy lines, and that was the one that was in the box. But I'm thinking, well, I don't know. There's 50 cards, and they repeat. So I just got to guess. And then he was doing the thing with the playing cards, and I said what the card was, and I can't believe it. It was in the deck the opposite way. I freaked out, and I don't believe in this stuff.
Awesome. That's my job. That's my job. Thank you.
Well, I don't know where you're located, but if we could find out, I would love to come see you perform.
Yeah, so I am in the I'm right in between Chicago and Milwaukee on the Wisconsin-Illinois line. I'm actually going to be performing in person, doing socially distanced mind reading and seance shows at the Maxwell Mansion this Friday in Lake Geneva. If you go to joediamondlive.com and click on Joe or see Joe Live, it has that date as well as a couple other socially distance approved small show in-person events I am doing. Their masks, their COVID compliance, and the Maxwell Mansion also is reportedly haunted. It's kind of an unspoken rule for me. I only work historic haunted buildings.
He talks to weird ghosts.
Yeah.
Holy
smokes. So at the Maxwell, it's really fun. I do ESP cards. I do some mind reading tests, and then I've been ending my sets there with a mini seance where everyone gets a take-home spirit message, which is as much as I will say. I have no control what the message says or who gets what, but I always promise it's positive and it's fun. So if you want to come see me there, feel free. Also, again, we're going to be doing lots of virtual shows, but you can find out about both at joediamondlive.com.
Bring up joediamondlive.com. Okay, we'll do it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, Chris. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Joe. I see you brought your friend Flora back, which
yes.
Great.
Or we can do something now. Exactly. If everyone has their cards ready, we can do this. Are you ready, Bob?
I'm ready.
All right. So you can shuffle your cards if you want. And basically what's going to happen is we're going to play a game with Flora.
Oh, great.
Okay? Now, here's the thing. Flora doesn't play fair.
Good. Thanks,
I'm not
Flora.
I'm going to say she cheats, because you want to tell a doll that looks like this she cheats?
No, I do not. Flora, you definitely don't look like you cheat.
So for the game between you and Flora, I will be the mediator to make sure everything is fair. Okay?
Thanks, Flora.
When you're done shuffling, I want you to deal out two hands of cards, two piles of five cards, one for you, one for Flora, and keep them face down.
All right, one, two, okay. Three, four, five.
And everyone can do this while we're doing this. I'll be giving clearer instructions on camera, but if someone is just listening, they can still play along with this if they'd like. But for ease of instruction, Bob, I'm just going to be giving you the instructions.
And
if people want to follow along with us, they can. Okay.
And podcast listeners, you get the ability to. Yeah, you guys get to pause it.
If you are listening to this later, recorded on the podcast, get cards and follow along. You can still play this game with Flora after the fact. So you have two hands of five cards in front of you, right, Bob?
Yes, I got two. Yep, two hands.
So to keep things fair, pick up whichever hand you want to be yours. Okay.
The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is. Yep.
Okay. And mix up that pile in your hand. And when you're done mixing them, place them back face down on the table and next to the other pile.
Okay.
And turn over the top card and remember it. Don't say it, but keep it in mind. Take a few seconds to really lock that card in mind. This will be your lucky card, the winning card for your game with Flora, okay?
Okay.
Once you have that card locked in mind, turn it face down, put it back where you found it on top of that pile.
Okay. Okay?
Now pick up Flora's pile and drop it on top of your pile, burying your card in the middle.
Don't look at Flora's card, though, right?
No. Yeah, Flora doesn't get a card. She just has to try and find yours.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so I put the one card on top.
Yep. So did you put the whole pile on top?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah. So now your card is buried in the middle.
Yes.
Right? In one pile of 10 cards. Now at this point, Flora knows exactly where your card is, because we all know exactly where your card is, because we can all count.
Mm-hmm.
So that she doesn't know, I don't know, so no one knows, I want you to get rid of some cards off the top of the deck or on top of the pile. Well, it's up to you whether you get rid of 1, 2, 3, or 4 cards. Don't even tell us how many cards you get rid of. Just get rid of 1, 2, 3, or 4 cards off of the top and set them aside. We won't need those anymore.
All right. Okay? Yep, moved.
All right. So far, the game is pretty fair. There's no way Flora can know where your card is in the pile now, right?
Yeah, no.
The other thing, though, is they're face down. We don't know, we don't know if Flora can deal off the top or bottom. So turn the whole pile face up, okay? Turn the whole pile face up in your hand. All right? Got it?
Uh-huh.
Now, again, the key is for Flora to find your winning card, okay?
Okay.
So take the top face-up card. And deal it face up on the table for Flora. Okay, deal the first card to Flora. Have you done that?
Yep.
And the next card, deal it to yourself. Just put it on the bottom of the pile. Still face up. Just move the top card to the bottom. Have you done that?
Yes.
Now deal the new top card. Again, face up on top of the other one on the table for Flora. And then take the next one and put it on the bottom for yourself. Okay.
Okay.
Keep doing that. One to the table. One to the bottom, one to the table, one to the bottom. And if you do this, eventually you'll find out Flora ends up with all of the cards except for one. You're left with just one at the very end of this all. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, hang on. Flora's talking to me. She says, you do not have your card. She says she has your winning card. She wins.
Oh, I don't. Okay.
Flora, come on, that's not a game. All right, she says she'll do it the hard way. Take that last card, place it on top of the pile, pick up the whole pile, turn it face down. So again, you don't know where anything is, and she doesn't know where anything is.
No, I do not.
You don't even know where it's at. Your card out loud. You're still thinking of it, right?
Yes, no, I lost my card at this point. So.
Okay, yeah. So take your top, so they're face down, take the top card, and just hold it in your other hand, and in your mind, say the name of the card you're thinking of, just in your mind. Flora says, no, that's not the card in your hand. Deal it down. Okay?
Okay.
Take the next card. Hold it in your other hand. And again, say the name of your card in your mind, not out loud. She says, no, that's not it either. Set it aside.
Okay.
Take the next card. Hold it in your hand. Say the name of your card in your mind. She says to say it one more time.
Okay.
She says to say your card one final time, but this time out loud.
8 of clubs.
She says you're holding your thought of card. Turn it over.
No.
Did she get it wrong?
Yes.
Huzzah! You beat the doll! That means she doesn't come and capture your eye.
Well, that's great!
If this worked on people listening in the podcast, let us know. It should have. But I'll tell you what, give your cards one more mix. Actually, let's do this, Bob. We'll do this a little differently. Set your cards aside.
Okay. Do you want me to put them back in the one pile?
Yeah, just set them aside. Flora says she doesn't like your cards.
Okay, she doesn't like my cards.
She wants to play with her cards. Okay.
All right.
So she has her own deck. She has her very own deck. In this purse.
Okay.
Okay. It's a little Flora sized deck. There's also two other things in here, which are invisible dice.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. So now only Flora can see them. So I'll roll them. She says she rolled a 7. She's a natural.
Sure.
So I'll shake them again. Roll them. She says she rolled an 11. Again, a natural. Now, Bob, I'm going to take the invisible dice and hand them to you through the screen.
All right, I grab the invisible dice, folks.
Even though you're over the screen, shake up the dice and roll them in front of you. Okay?
All
did
right.
you roll them?
I did.
She says snake eyes. You lost.
Oh, thanks, Flora.
So I'll tell you what. Pick up the dice, hold them in one hand. Okay?
All right.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Now, before we go any further, Flora's deck in this purse has two cards turned over. The only hint you get is that one is a spade and one is a diamond. Okay? I'm going to leave this purse in frame.
God.
And Bob, I want you to take your free hand.
Okay.
And take your index finger and touch your screen where Flora's missing eye is.
Oh, I keep bringing it back up. All right. There you are. I'm touching it.
Okay. You are? Okay.
Yeah.
Shake the invisible dice.
All right.
And roll them.
All right. I rolled it.
And this time, you tell us, what did you roll?
A three?
A three?
Yeah, sure, a three.
All right, real quick, it's up to you. Do you want to roll them again? It's up to you.
No, I'm going to keep the three. I'm going to keep the three.
You're going to keep the three?
Okay. Yeah.
One final question before I put Flora down. So that would have to be a two and a one, right?
Yeah.
Which one is the diamond? The two?
Let's go with the two.
So that would be the two of diamonds and the ace of spades. Is that correct?
You are correct.
All right. I am going to go through the deck again. I'm keeping the purse in frame.
Okay.
Go through this mini tiny Flora deck and you will see, just like I said, there are not just one, but two cards turned over
in this little Flora-sized deck, right?
Yeah.
The only cards turned over. You can see that on your end, right, Bob?
Yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And you said the two of diamonds and the ace of spades, and take a look in Flora's deck.
Oh!
Wow!
There you go.
And the ace of spades. You won the game with Flora. Oh, Flora says congratulations for winning twice.
Oh, well, thanks,
she
Flora.
Says, as a prize, you may... She says, as a prize, you may keep her invisible dice.
Oh, well, thank you for the invisible dice, Flora. I'll save them for a special occasion.
Yeah, she says you will never lose a bet with them.
Good to know. Joe, I really appreciate you coming aboard tonight.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. This is always fun to come on and do this stuff with you and see what works, what doesn't. And again, like, that's the fun of this stuff for me, is seeing, you know, where all this stuff goes and again, I love talking with you about all things spooky and weird anyway, so it's an extra blast.
Folks, again, Joe is a class act. Not only is he wonderful at what he does, he's, you know, blows my mind every time, but Joe's also a class act human being. He's wonderful to talk to. I've seen him interact with his fans. You guys need to go check him out. You guys can follow him on the social medias, and you need to plug your stuff,
yep.
Joe. And if you guys can get a chance to check him out live, see him live in person when it's safe to do so, and check out his web show that he just told us about here a little bit ago.
So all my shows are listed at joediamondlive.com. There are 7 spots left for the 9 p.m. virtual show on Halloween. The 7 p.m. show is sold out. It's full. But there are 7 spots left. We're going to be doing an interactive seance. Flora will be making an appearance. I'll be telling that ghost story from my life with the Haunted Tarot deck. And, you know, again, I'll give you another exclusive. We're finishing the show with another long distance tarot coincidence experiment. That's as much as I will say.
Fair enough.
Basically, I have mailed several people in the show, chosen at random. I've mailed them all tarot decks for this experiment, which will be happening long distance, over Zoom. This is stuff that is extra amazing because it is over Zoom, because I can't see what they're doing. I can't read body language. I got to go with just what's happening. And you get to find out, we'll be doing some paranormal experiments to find out if people's houses are haunted over Zoom. So it's going to be very fun. JoeDiamondLive.com/Halloween for that. And I'll be adding dates for parapsychology There will be a Thanksgiving Day show, a Christmas Day show, New Year's, all that stuff. And then it'll start back up weekly in 2021. And again, all that will be listed at joediamondlive.com. And I am at Joe Diamond Live on all social media. And thank you for all those kind words, Bobs. And Bobs.
Now, that's multiple Bobs. That's a bad idea.
Two Bobs.
Yeah, thank you for the kind word, Bobs. Thank you for the kind words, Bob. And in all sincerity, if someone does have questions about what I do, where shows are happening, I'm very reachable. My email is at joe@joediamondlive.com. And you can send me a message at Joe Diamond Live on Instagram, Facebook, wherever. I'm very get a holdable, and I'm always open to chat with people and answer any questions that they might have.
And folks, if you're on the show right now from Joe Diamond's side, make sure you like the Bob After Dark social media.
Yeah,
that's on all
and
social media.
Listen to the podcast.
Yes, at Bob After Dark.
I heard on the Ghostly podcast a while ago too.
Yes.
I was like, oh, hey, it's Bob. Sweet. They were just playing in my earbuds, and I was doing housework. I was like, sweet, Bob.
Yeah, Pat and Rebecca, dear, that's our sister show here. So we're very yes. Thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate you.
Cool. Hey, thank you so much, Bob. Appreciate it. Stay safe and happy Halloween.
Absolutely. All right, live audience, stick around. We're going to just take a quick break. And for our podcast fans, stick around. You're going to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. See you soon.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back. Hi, Panic.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good here. How about you?
Doing good. Did you do anything exciting during break?
You know what? Not too much, Bob. I was still trying to adjust my mask. I'm still trying to figure out how does Joe actually do it. It's amazing.
Did you play back there?
I did, yes.
Did Flora beat you?
Flora always beat me, but you know, I'm using my special bicycle deck, so you know it's legit. And between the phone call trick and us, the tricks in here, I just don't get how he does it, really.
Joe's a brilliant man. During break, I was actually setting traps in case Flora decided to go against her word and money to come pluck my eye.
Did you?
Yeah. So welcome to Bob After Dark, folks, the normal, the non-guest form of the show. This is where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, anything that goes bump in the night, lights in the sky, and all kinds of paranormal goodness. I want to start off the show by talking a little bit about Count Dracula.
Oh, what do you do?
So Count Dracula is this gentleman who calls in every Halloween to the Bob After Dark hotline.
Oh, no.
Every year, since we've started the Bob After Dark hotline, which you would think I would know the voicemail off the top of my head. I don't remember the name offhand. But we have a Bob After Dark hotline, which I'll post up so you guys can check it out, because I can't get to that at the moment. But every year, this guy calls in, and it's Count Dracula. And he's hilarious. So I want to share with you guys a voicemail from Count Dracula.
I don't believe it.
Good evening, Bob and company. It's I, Count Dracula, contacting you once again to tell you another story. A man is walking home alone late one foggy night when behind him he hears bump, bump, bump. Walking faster, he looks back, and through the fog he makes out the image of an upright casket banging its way down the middle of the street toward him. Bump. Bump! Bump! Terrified, the man begins to run towards his home, the casket bouncing quickly behind him. Faster! Bump! Faster! Bump! Bump! He runs up his door, fumbles with his keys, opens the door, rushes in, slams and locks the door behind him. However, the casket crashes through the door, with the lid of the casket clapping. Clappity bump! Clappity bump! On his heels, the terrified man runs, rushing upstairs to the bathroom. The man locks himself in. His heart is pounding. His ears is reeling. His breath is coming in sobbing gasps. With a loud crash, the casket breaks down the door. Bumping and clapping towards him, the man screams and reaches for something, anything, but all he can find is a bottle of cough syrup. Desperate, he throws the cough syrup at the casket, and the coffin stops. Bum-bum. Anyway, I have a wonderful Halloween. Oh, an update for you. I did check out that cheese castle, and it turns out it's now my summer home. All right, thank you very much, and happy Halloween. This has been Count Dracula. Good evening.
You know, it's been a long time since we heard. Since
Count Dracula calls in every year.
Who is he?
I don't know who Count Dracula is. I just want to say I don't know. The Google Play that runs our Bob After Dark hotline doesn't tell me who it is.
Dracula.
It just says Dracula.
And who knew he would love the Mars cheese castle? I hope he stays away from that garlic cheese, though, you know.
Is it a relative of yours, Count Panic?
No, it's not a relative of mine. I would let you know if it was somebody that I knew, but it's nobody I know. And I can't do the accent, so you know it's not me, but it's good. I mean, we didn't know if he was going to come back around this year. He was around last year, and I believe he did a few things year before as well, but he left us a few messages in the past and kind of disappeared for a year.
Now he's back. Yeah. The Bob After Dark hotline, by the way, folks, is 424-262-3275. You can call and tell a ghost story, cryptid encounter, anything in the world. You guys are welcome to call or text that hotline, and as long as it's appropriate, I could share it on the air. You'll go straight to a voicemail, but I don't answer that. It's set for the voicemail line, but I'd like to hear from you guys.
That was good to hear from Dracula.
Yeah, I know. So
hopefully he leaves a couple more before Halloween ends.
Thanks, Count Dracula.
Yeah.
He checked out the Mars Cheese Castle, Count. You got some competition.
Yeah, you know what? Well, we vampires love our cheese curds. What can we say?
And they have some good curds.
They do.
All right, moving on. This week, no five-star reviews we have to talk about, but that means you guys need to be leaving us five-star reviews.
True.
Apple Podcasts. Go on there if you're enjoying what you're hearing. And leave a five-star review, and Count Panic will cheers you live on air.
There's like
no,
this.
No five stars.
Oh, never
week.
Mind that. No. No cheers.
But make sure you guys go over to the Apple Podcast and check it out and say hello and leave a five-star review.
Mm-hmm.
Next week on Bob After Dark is our 50th episode podcast special. It's a very exciting moment for
I
us.
Know, yes.
You were silent. Wait, I was waiting for you to say something.
The podcast version.
Yeah, the podcast. It's our 50th episode anniversary, and it's something very near and dear and special to my heart. I can't reveal too much about it, but there is a special guest, and we're talking about something very special.
There you have it. Now, a programming note, though.
It's going to be next Wednesday.
Wednesday.
The live version of the show is going to be next Wednesday. The podcast version is going to be coming out next Friday still.
Because
election night,
and you know, some say that's scary enough, but we'll be here the next day for even more terrifying stuff. So if you're watching the live version here on WJLB or listening to the live version here on WJLB, just one night.
Yep. The election results here at WJOB Studios, and it just happens to fall on the Tuesday. But the 50th episode anniversary special is going to be next week. And we're going to be talking about a certain character, a certain figure. A certain buggy creature that we've been waiting to talk about for a very long time. A certain purple noise, perhaps?
Oh.
Glowing red eyes?
Oh. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's happening next week, folks. Right. So we have a special guest coming on for it. It's going to be huge.
Special day, special guest, special episode.
Yes. And I just want to give a quick shout out to the city of Whiting for having us last weekend at the Bob After Dark Spooky Region Stories. We talked in the very cold weather outside, but we managed. We had fans, so thank you to the fans that made appearance and stuck around and held out with us. We had a family of four that stuck around the entire 4 hours we were there. So good job to you guys if you're listening live. The Augustine family from Whiting, Indiana. There, thanks, guys, for sticking around the entire night. But it was a good time. And let's dive right into the show. Spooky news of the week. This is where you, the fans, send in weird spooky news articles to me, and we talk about it on the show. Count Panic is not told anything before the show on this, so you guys get the hashtag Panic's Take on everything we talk about. And the first two stories are actually ones that I put off last week. We have so many news stories right now that I'm actually having a backlog, which is great because usually it takes a little bit to find this. This is the hardest part of the show if the fans don't send it in. But this one came something I found, and it's a woman calls off wedding with a ghost because he, quote, kept disappearing.
Don't you hate when that happens?
This comes to us from the New York Post, and the story begins with her fiance totally ghosted her. Yeah. A British woman claims she got engaged to a ghost, has now called off her wedding because he kept disappearing and started partying too much. We've called the wedding off, Amethyst Realm 32 said on a UK TV show this morning. He just completely changed. Realm said she fell in love with a gorgeous spirit named Ray during a trip to Australia in 2018 and even enjoyed their relationship on the flight home. The paranormal Casanova later popped the question on their 9-month anniversary, and things were going well until a recent vacation in Thailand, she said. I think maybe he fell in with the bad crowd when we were on holiday. He just started becoming really inconsiderate, Realm said in this out-of-the-world interview. It was suddenly as if he didn't know boo about romance, she told the show. He disappeared for long periods of time, and when he came back, he'd bring other spirits to the house and say they were just around for a few days, she said. I think he started doing drugs and partying a bit too much. Unfortunately, they both agreed not to tie the knot. Her story sparked some spirited comments on Twitter last Wednesday, and one observer quipping, never mind, we won't finish that one, but
we could use our imagination.
Yeah,
there,
use
Bob.
Your imagination. They were calling, they didn't have nice things to say about the men. No. I'll just leave it like that. Hashtag panic stick.
That's terrifying. You know, dating is hard enough, but when you start seeing a ghost, I can only imagine it's even more complicated, but you know, weren't we going to start a while back ago a paranormal dating site, Bob?
There is a paranormal dating site.
But the Bob After Dark
paranormal dating site. Yeah, we were going to do the Bob After Dark speed dating. And yeah. the only person in there's two people in the Bob After Dark universe who could really participate in that. That's you and Ben.
Anybody could really do it, though.
No, well, I mean, you can't be dating if you're, I mean, unless, sure. But
we're talking more like, or otherworldly creatures. I am a vampire.
Yeah, but no, we found out later after I said I'm going to start a paranormal dating site for folk who are into the paranormal, we found out Coast to Coast AM runs one already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, this woman met a ghost, fell in love, got engaged, and unfortunately that didn't work out. And that seems to be a common theme. Remember last year we were talking a little bit about the woman who was engaged to the pirate ghost?
Yeah.
And it didn't work out either.
Yeah, well.
So they got married, and then they got divorced.
Well, it's bad enough dating a ghost, but when you're dating a pirate ghost, it's even worse. You know, they just really want one thing, you know? It's a pirate joke.
Yeah,
you guys can put it together.
Arr.
Yeah.
But what's your take on this one? Do you think? No, I feel bad for her. I really do.
No, I feel terrible as well. Hopefully, she finds love elsewhere. Maybe with an actual human being this time around, you know?
I hope so. I hope she finds love no matter where she's looking, and it's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Sure.
I have a follow-up to a story we talked about a little bit a couple weeks ago. For the second time in 2 months, a flying person has been reported over LA.
Hmm.
A story comes to us from ABC7, which is the affiliate out there in LA. FAA says a China Airlines flying crew from Taipei reported someone in a jetpack just before 2 p.m. LAX radio traffic gives a better idea how this played off, and I'm just going to read this word from word. Flying object, was it a UAV or was it a jetpack? 215 heavy, there was a jetpack reported about 13 miles ahead. The airline crew says the person in the jetpack was over Century City area about 6,000 feet in the air. Law enforcement is now investigated, and the FBI is aware of the incident. In late August, two commercial airline pilots reported seeing a person in a jetpack near planes around LAX. That person was never located. Aviation experts tell ABC News it's extremely dangerous to invade airplane space, not only for the person in the jetpack, but for those in the plane, because it could really bring the airliner down.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag panic stake.
Well, you know what we got to do is get this jetpacker from Los Angeles to come to Chicago O'Hare airport and find Mothman, right? That could be a thing.
Yeah.
So that we bring this guy over from LA and, you know, because we're having our problems here with Mothman. You could take him. Well, I don't want to say take him down. Well, can't. What would you? Who would you take in a battle there? The jetpack guy or Mothman?
The Rocketeer.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that's exactly the that's the idea I'm going with here. Is the Rocketeer is my pick for the is for who this is. 2020 needed a hero, and it's the Rocketeer.
That could be true. Yeah, you're
and,
right.
And to the Rocketeer, whoever it might be out there in the world, if you're a Bob After Dark fan, if you're going to be testing your jetpack, just be careful not to do it in airspace because something bad could happen to you and something bad could happen to the airplane. I'm all for you doing what you're doing. You know, all about the advancements in science and you're trying to be the hero we deserve right now and we need right now. But just be careful. That's my two cents.
Maybe we should buy advertisement on him. You know, that way he could put Bob After Dark logos while he's flying up there. It'd be kind of cool, right? A little, a little maybe shameless of us, but still. Advertising is advertising.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Rocketeer, if you're listening right now, get in touch. Yeah. We want to buy some advertising.
Put a banner connected to him.
You know, no, because then the FAA is going to think that's us. That's me and you doing
it's
it.
A cheap
and then
plug.
Me and you are probably going to get arrested.
Yeah, well.
Which I.
and for people questioning the jetpack story, this is about the third time the jetpacker has shown up there. In LA, so.
Yeah, Kelly chimes in the chat and says, how old is this jetpack story?
Third time.
This is the second time.
I think this might have been the third time.
I didn't hear the third time.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the second time.
I know
time.
The I one was in August, but this is the second one that just had. Yeah. This was a story I found last week that I could just share this week. Know. So it's only a week old with the second sighting. If there was a third one and I missed it, could somebody link the story into the chat or shoot us an email or whatever about it? Because it'd be a great thing to follow up on.
Yeah.
So if somebody knows of a third sighting, please reach out. We'd love to hear it. Finally, Count Panic, our last news story comes to us from Whitney Roden.
Okay.
Who is usually our news article reporter. She sends us in and says, this was the big discovery from NASA.
Yes.
Because they had this big thing, right?
The $27 million toilet, yes.
No, it was something about the moon.
Oh, I'm thinking about the other story. That's not paranormal. That's just facts.
That's
right
just
there.
Facts.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Thanks, Cal Panic. All right, you
so
ready?
It's a paranormal one, yes.
Well, it's not paranormal either.
Well,
it's
a spooky one.
It's a spooky. It's
yeah,
weird.
I want to hear it.
For the first time ever, scientists have identified water on the moon's sunlit surface. Mm. They also found that water is more common on the moon than previously thought, with pockets of ice hiding in shadowy regions of eternal darkness. Mm. Some as small as a penny, new studies reveal. Scientists have been finding signs of water on the moon since 2009, and in 2018 confirmed the presence of water ice on the lunar surface. Now researchers in two studies have detected water at one of the largest crater formations, a sunlit surface on the moon, and has also found the lunar surface could be harboring plentiful patches of secret ice in cold traps, regions of permanently shadowed spots on the moon. And this story comes to us from just space.com.
Okay.
So, water on the moon, hashtag panic state.
Well, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong here, but don't you make your own moon water from time to time?
Yeah, well, that's more in the mysticism side. Like, you know, we'd get our moon, you know, get some water down here, or in James from Peoria's case, just get a case of the Sani and leave it outside. But in the non-stick which way, get yourself a little mason jar, you give a little blessing, you fill it with some purified water or tap water if that's what you got. Leave it outside in the moonlight, and there's different ways
that's
you can go
moon water.
That's moon water made on Earth.
But we want the actual.
This is like
hit us with that good stuff.
If you actually got like water from the moon, I bet that stuff would be as mystifyingly plentiful and potent as it could ever be.
How do you now? Is this drinkable? Can you drink moon water? That's
my
question.
Like the ones I make or the ones
on
the moon?
The one on the moon. On the moon. Yeah, can you drink that moon water? Because if that's the case, then. You know, that might be something we want to tap into years from now.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll give you superpowers.
Maybe get a giant straw from here to the moon, and if you're getting thirsty, you could drink that water. Might be something. Might give you powers.
It might give you special powers.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Science, Bob, science.
Science. We're advancing in the science world. And folks, our ghost story this week came to us from Joe Diamond.
Oh.
So we don't have a an actual ghost story from, you know, one of you guys, the listeners, but I want to hear them. And I want to hear your news articles if you find them. You can send in any weird paranormal encounter you have. So this could be a UFO encounter, a ghost sighting, a cryptid presence, or just weird experiences while dreaming or sleep paralysis stories.
One more thing, Bob, before we get into the story.
Yeah.
Can you, the moon water that you kind of dabble in, can you drink that moon water?
Yes.
Chris is asking here in the chat.
Yes.
Okay.
That's safe. That's right. That's an old witchy way of taking
good,
care
good
of
luck?
Yeah, well, it's a good cleanser, purifier.
There you go.
Anytime I do anything where I'm, you know, blessing a house with like sage or something, I'll sprinkle the moon water all about.
There you
go. You know, I'll dip my hand in, sprinkle. You can water plants with it. Some people drink it. They'll drop a little quartz in there, and it'll just, that's a potent thing. You're blessing something. It's like, you know, it's witchy holy water, essentially.
So if your garden is growing, if your garden's not growing, maybe take some moon water to it and watch it grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not gardeners, but still we don't have the green thumb, Bob, but we know a thing or two about some things.
Oh, I don't have a green thumb. I mean, I have like a mild green thumb, but I am not the gardening type. But if you water your plants with moon water, they're supposed to be able to grow big and strong.
All right.
So that's the three news articles. And like I said, folks, if you have a news article, feel free to share those with us. You can go to facebook.com/BobAfterDark and send them in the DMs. You can slide into the DMs on Instagram at BobAfterDark, or you can email them at Bob@BobAfterDark.com. Joe Diamond's got me tongue-tied now.
Yeah.
I
think it's the dice you have in the pocket.
It's my lucky invisible dice.
Yep.
Or do you have, like I said, a weird encounter, anything spooky, weird, ghost, cryptid, demonic entity thing, whatever it might be? I want to hear your stories. Email or get in contact with us any way you can, just like I just mentioned with the news articles. And I want to hear your stories. And you're welcome to remain anonymous. That's completely fine. And you're going to be sharing them in a safe space. I'm going to take all of your stories 1,000% serious. And I can share my input live here on the show, and Count Panic will share his too.
Yeah.
Which we didn't get a real chance to hear your opinion on Joe Diamond's story. So.
Well, the one he gave.
Yeah.
One
what was your take on the Joe Diamond story?
The one he told him. We talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to read it again. I was like, oh, no, I think he did it in person. That is terrifying. But you know what? I wonder about it. You know, because he's like, the fact that he's kind of in this other realm. Can you say that? Like he's in a realm by himself out there?
Yeah.
Because he dabbles in this stuff?
Yeah.
I wonder if that leads him to be in. He talks about performing at these places. You know, to be more open-minded. Now, Bob, I know you have a very open mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Doing this, what I do for my living. Yeah, absolutely.
But for people that, it comes to people more naturally, you would say.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. But does it, like for a person like me, who believes in it, of course, but I never get visited by anything or anybody.
You and I have had experiences like we've been on investigations.
But I think it's because you're there. I think if I'm there alone, it wouldn't happen.
That's not true, though, because before we started doing Bob After Dark, you told me about the time you were playing poker with the
yes,
the spirits. So
true.
I mean,
and that was a heck
maybe
of,
because Don was there.
That's the thing. I'm with other people that kind of.
So you've never had a paranormal experience by your, this is a Count Panic like inside edition scoop,
yeah,
folks.
So.
You've never had a paranormal experience by yourself.
None that I could, no, nothing legit. I mean, there's been weird things about, like, you know, just being alone, the vibe of it, but nothing. I never saw anything out of the ordinary by myself. Never heard anything out of the ordinary by himself. Just when I'm with other people that may be more open-minded to that. My mom's like that. My mom is a little more open-minded, but
she called in once and told
a story
about the door.
She has stories, yeah.
She told us about the door.
Yeah. And she
was just trying to keep you
but
out.
She's seen other things before and stuff like that, heard other things.
Sure.
Unlike me, who, I just kind of, maybe I'm aloof. Maybe I'm not just seeing something.
I have a theory on that. Some folk, I think, are just more susceptible to it than others.
Yeah.
I think everybody has the capability of having an experience, but I think just depending on either how in tune you are with it or how much you kind of want it to happen, I think it can happen to you. And I'm sure there's probably a skeptical argument to be made for the ones that want to happen to you.
Hmm.
But even like more recently, like with my dad, my dad's a very, he's kind of down the middle of the road when it comes to the skeptic scale.
Yeah.
You know, the scale of skepticism. I got to come up with a branding for that. Pat and I have a running gag about cigarette brandings. Like, we have the skeptic light and we have the believer light. And then you have like different forms of that, but that doesn't work in this case. My dad, he's a pretty straightforward guy. You know, he supports what I do, but he doesn't necessarily believe the things we talk about on here, but he listens. He's very open-minded about it, especially now. He watches these paranormal shows, and when I'm there, yeah, he'll, you know, we'll watch them together, whatever. Him himself had an experience even recently, right after his brother, my uncle, passed. And it blew my mind that my dad even shared something like that, yeah, with me. Because he's not, like I said, my dad's not a believer. He's not totally involved with it.
Yeah.
But even he had an experience. So I don't know if that throws a wrench into my theory or not.
Might be, Bob. Or maybe you're just rubbing off him on all your...
fair enough.
Your mind and it's going on to him there.
So that's possible. But even when I wasn't there, so even when you were at the studio the old studio by yourself.
Oh, that's just not like the activity we catch it on camera, but it's just an eerie vibe when you're there alone, you know.
Sure.
But I mean, watch the video back. The doors creaking, the machines are going off, the music box, the preacher's name on there. I mean, that was off the wall paranormal stuff happening.
Yeah, that was. I was talking to somebody recently, James from Peoria, actually. We talked a little bit about it. And I said that was probably the most concrete evidence I've ever had at an investigation. I've had weird things happen, but that was like my defining moment as an investigator and as a researcher where I was like, I can't explain these things. Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, I digress. So yeah. Joe Diamond's story, you're saying that it might have happened to him because he's a little bit more
intuitive. You know, he's in the zone with those kinds of things. You know, I don't think this is going to be the last occurrence as well. I think he's going to have many more experiences.
Listeners, I'm giving you a quick challenge. This goes for all of my listeners across the board. Are you on? Because we accept skepticism on the show, and if you're a hardcore skeptic, I really want to hear, you know, I really like having you around. It makes me happy to have skeptics around. Because in my opinion, Bob After Dark is a show for both skeptics and believers. As far as the skeptical mind people are concerned, have you ever had a paranormal experience, or maybe not paranormal, but a really weird occurrence that you could not explain? And I've had this happen, and I've had this talk with skeptics before. I would definitely check for that. So let's move on.
All right.
Lore of the week. This is the big Halloween special. Count Panic, you've been to Disney World?
I have been to Disney World a few occasions.
Have you ever been during Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween?
Never, sadly, during that time season.
I got to go last Halloween.
Did you?
Not on Halloween, but last spooky season I got to go. And the beginning of their parade, they have a parade, right? Just like normal Disney World parade stuff. At the beginning of the Halloween parade, it's almost like Disney World goes silent.
Okay.
The whole Magical Kingdom. And you just hear hooves clopping down Main Street. And you don't know exactly what's going on. And I'm a guy who believes in this kind of stuff, but I still got my arms kind of my hair stood up. My arms, it's really spooky. And out rides this figure on a black horse wearing old garb and had a pumpkin for a head. And the headless horseman is the grand marshal for the Halloween parade.
Really?
And I have. You see it in person and you hear it, and that's one of those experiences. Like, I'm not trying to shill the Disney thing here, which Disney, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast.
Are they paying you for this, Bob?
They're not.
Okay.
But if you guys can experience a few things in your life, I can't recommend experiencing the Headless Horseman ride in Disney World. Like, the Headless Horseman, like, riding down Main Street, and you get to hear the clopping.
Something to see.
It's one of those paranormal experiences that just stand out to me, like it did on that. And ever since I was a kid, I've always been fascinated by the concept of Sleepy Hollow and the story of the Headless Horseman. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week. And nice. I want to give a quick shout out to Jack for helping me get my research for the show, because I needed a little bit more help on this, because I've always wanted to do an episode on the legend of Sleepy Hollow. The story itself's not very long. but the lore that goes in behind it and some of the stuff that even happens in the world today based off of the story is very frightening. And I wanted to start off by telling you the tale of a man by the name of Ichabod Crane.
Okay.
And this story comes to us from the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Really? That's the official source right there.
It's a good source. Yeah. The protagonist of the story, Ichabod Crane, is a Yankee school teacher who lives in Sleepy Hollow, a Dutch enclave on the Hudson River. A suggestible man, Crane believes in all of the ghost stories and tales of witchcraft as he has heard and read, and he is peculiarly impressed by the tale of the spectral headless horseman said to haunt the area. Crane is also a mercenary. He courts the Katrina von Tassel, mostly because she is the daughter of a rich farmer and is expected to receive a large inheritance. Abraham von Brunt, also known as Brom Bones, is Crane's jealous rival, a local favorite and rash horseman who likes to play tricks on the schoolmaster. Late one night, as Ichabod Crane rides home from a party at Katrina's home, he is suddenly frightened by a ghost-like headless horseman. The ghost pursues him and hurls at him a large, round object that he takes to be a head, but is later to be revealed as a pumpkin. And Ichabod Crane was never seen in Sleepy Hollow again. And the story goes that to this day, there is a weird spectral horse and a man that ride up and down the old dusty trails in and around Sleepy Hollow. Did I give you some goosebumps?
I did get goosebumps there. I was looking out the window. I thought I saw a horse going by out there, but
we'll get to that in a little bit. Terrifying. About some legitimate things. Yeah. You know, this, again, the story of Ichabod Crane and Sleepy Hollow, there's the love story between Ichabod and Katrina. Mm-hmm. But the main core of it with the horseman rider, it's not written very much in the story. You know, Washington Irving wrote that back in 1820, and it's a short story. But I gave you the gist of it, and I wanted to paint that picture. And just hearing the clopping of the hooves of the horse as it rides by down this desolate road covered with trees, and you just see in the far distance this lit up pumpkin upon the head of this rider as he removes the pumpkin and just throws it. That just gives me the eeries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, once upon a time ago, there is a story called The Wild Hunt. And that happened on Samhain, which we now know as Halloween. The Wild Hunt is a idea that was widespread across Europe. And it was led by a supernatural entity or a supernatural master, Odin, King Harla, Gwynedd in Wales, or in some cases, a headless horseman. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to the writer of this article from the Writing Wrangler. And the hunt generally comprised spectral horsemen on horseback accompanied by a pack of fairy hounds, usually white hounds with red tipped ears, and it would fly through the air, pound over the earth, or just hover above the ground during its hunt. The Wild Hunt is called many things and described in many ways depending on the time and place. On the Isle of Man, a band of 13 hunters rode out on a frosty moonlit night on the Manx Fairy Hunt, as described in Thomas Knightley's A Fairy Mythology, written in 1828. And he heard the cry of the huntsman, the thunder horse's hooves, and trumpeting of horns. He wondered why the hunt was out at night in such a frost. It crossed his path several times, and under the light of the moon, he saw the riders clear as day. There were 13 huntsmen on horseback, dressed in green. In the highlands of Scotland, the formidable fairy Sloe is often described as the souls of the unforgiven dead. They would take to the air in great flock, hunting mortal souls to join in their number. They also enjoy cats, dogs, sheep, and cattle, and they would get them with poison darts. And this, there was an encounter account written in Alexander Carmichael's Carmilla Galalica, which was written in 1900 and describes a sighting of them in the Outer Hebrides. On hearing the call, the dogs ran outside, and when the men had gathered their wits, they followed. In the bright blue night sky, they beheld a multitude of spirits with hounds on leashes and hawks perched on hands. The air was filled with music like tinkling bells, mingled with the shouts of the slaw, calling to their hounds. And, you know, when Christianity took over as the predominant kind of religion and belief system, the Wild Hunt turned from these spectral thing entities hunting down mortals and kind of rounding up spirits of the damned to bring them back to the underworld. The story then turned into demons and witches because, you know, Christianity wanted that to be the, you know, forefront of the enemy. And again, I just want to give a quick shout out to, and this is this is written from Ronel Johns von Verun, and they write for the New Adult, and I really appreciate them for sharing that bits of information about the Wild Hunt. And the concept of that Washington Irving wrote back in 1820 of the Headless Horseman was probably directly inspired by the Wild Hunt that people were thinking about way back in the Norse times. You know, on Samhain, this spectral horse would ride out with, you know, groups of people to go hunting down for souls. And that might be exactly what the Headless Horseman was doing in Sleepy Hollow those nights. And instead of, you know, having these great number of, you know, packs of dogs and certain things that hung out with him, in this case, it was just the one. And the hunted was Ichabod Crane from the story of Sleepy Hollow. What you think so far, Count Panic?
Well, it's terrifying, and I'm learning some new things here because my memory doesn't go that far back here, Bob, but you know, my knowledge of Sleepy Hollow just really pertains to Disney cartoons. So it's good to hear some real
stuff.
You know,
the Disney cartoon of the Adventures of Sleepy Hollow, and I think that's paired with the Mr. Toad's mm-hmm. Wild Ride.
Yeah.
I think they're two together like on one thing. If you get a chance to watch the Sleepy Hollow Disney special, they do a really good job of visualizing the, you know, the Headless Horseman. There was also the Tim Burton Johnny Depp film.
I saw
film,
that one. I forget
and
about that
one. That one's okay. I like the movie. I like Tim Burton.
Christopher Walken,
Christopher
right?
Walken yeah. was the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
And it's a bit weird. I still appreciate the story, and I appreciate what
How
that
about
is.
Those teeth? He had those teeth.
He did have those teeth. And Johnny Depp did a really good job in that movie.
No. I thought it was, at the time, I think they showed us in a junior high for some reason because of the art or something in it, but
it was, and it's beautifully drawn.
Yeah, that's why
too.
I think they were showing us that, but I thought it was a great movie, but I gotta go back and watch it because I haven't watched it in a number of years, so
absolutely
I check it out.
I do definitely
due to this episode.
Yes, and then the Irving's inspiration can also derive from a written thing back in 1796 by Sir Walter Scott. It was called The Chase, which was a translation of the Germanic poem The Wild Huntsman by Gottfried Bürger. And that's the famous story of the, you know, the night watchman that would ride out into the night. And according to the New York Historical Society, others believe that Irving was inspired by an actual Haitian soldier who was decapitated by cannonball during the Battle of the White Plains around Halloween in 1776. Irving's story takes place in the New York village of Sleepy Hollow in Westchester County. In it, lanky newcomer, and we were talking about Ichabod Crane, and unfortunately ended up vanishing. I believe we have a caller on the line, so I'll talk a little bit more. Irving may also have drawn inspiration for his story while a teenager in the Tarrytown region. He moved to the area in 1798 to flee a yellow fever outbreak in New York City, according to the New York Historical Society. He would have been introduced to a local ghost stories and lore at an impressionable age. He cleverly weaves together of factual locations, the old Dutch church and churchyard, Major Andre's tree, and some actual family names, including Von Tossel and Ichabod Crane, and a little bit of Revolutionary War history with pure fantasy, So that was from Bradley of the New York Historical Society. We have a caller on the line.
That's right. We have James from Peoria.
James from Peoria.
Oh, hey there, Bob and Tony. How are you guys doing tonight?
Who's Tony?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cal Panic.
Oh, okay. That's okay, better. That's hey, James from Peoria. What's on your mind tonight, pal? Happy Halloween.
Well, happy Halloween to you, too. I heard you guys were talking about packages of DeSantis, so.
So we summoned you.
Yes. I felt a disturbance in the force. My people needed me. And Gandalf was there, too.
Gandalf was there. What's on what's on your mind tonight, Mr. James from Peoria?
Well, I've been trying to think of ways that I could celebrate Samhain this year. And it's one of the, me being a terrible and lazy witch, it's one of the few times where I actually will do a spell or anything like that. So I'm looking it up right now. I had a picture, now I can't find it, of course. But I thought I would share just a little spell that I found that I was thinking of doing, but of course now I can't find the photo. I'm going to have to investigate the mystery of the missing photograph.
Good talk, James.
But anyway, yeah, I wanted to get on real quick and talk about the video I took for the Children of the Night group. I went out and did a small tour of the haunted cemetery that I've got that EVP from.
Absolutely. Oh, from the Zion Cemetery we talked about last week.
Yep, that's the one.
Oh, well, so how was your experience out there?
It was very interesting. Kind of like Count Panic, I never get to really see or experience things normally. But while I was taking the video, all kinds of weird stuff was happening around the car where Alicia was sitting, including she saw something following me around and something else kept tapping on the car. And there was very little wind. There were no weeds or trees. The car was sitting on mowed grass, nothing around it, and it sounded like if you took just your fingernails and tap, tap, tap. And I even heard that when I got back in the car. It sounded like somebody went tap, tap, tap on the hood.
Oh, that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
No reason, sticks brushing up against it from trees or anything?
No, where I parked it, there wasn't even tall grass. It was all freshly mowed, it seemed like. There was nothing around the car. I had parked it there specifically.
Did anything else kind of stick out to you as really strange? Because you weren't there for an investigation, right? You were just kind of there to kind of go and be there?
Yeah, just kind of go. I've been hyping up the place to Alicia for a few years now, and she was like, are you ever going to take me out there? So I said, well, let's go. And it was interesting. She made a beeline straight to John Henry Bishop's stone, which is the one we got the EVP of. Man's voice saying, I'm John Henry.
That one you shared.
I listened to that
one. That, you know, that we grade EVPs as like an ABC, you know, D scale, but that one was clear as day. That one would be, you know, a B plus A. That one stands out to me. That one was brilliant. The second one you shared, I listened to it several times. And I could pick up on a few things, but that first one you shared, absolutely brilliant. And you guys could find that on the Children of the Night page, right? You posted that up, that and your newest tour of Zion.
Yep, that's correct.
All right, folks, and the Children of the Night page is the fan page that James from Peoria runs himself. So you guys can go on Children of the Night. I think it's just facebook.com/Children of the Night. I don't know. James will have to link it to the chat. We'll put it up in the show notes, too, for you guys can go check that out. But, James, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us.
Absolutely, and happy Halloween, guys.
Oh, thank you so much, and keep that DeSanti handy.
Oh, yeah, I've got two cases out there because it is a special moon, a blue moon on Halloween.
Yeah, that's DeSanti.
That's right, so double the DeSanti for twice the power of moons or something.
Thanks, James. Have a good night.
Thanks, James.
You too.
DeSanti should start maybe catering.
DeSanti, if you guys are looking to sponsor our podcast, Bob After Dark, that's the show you should be sponsoring. Yep. Okay, so Washington Irving wrote the story of Sleepy Hollow, the legend of Sleepy Hollow, as a fictional story. So there is no Headless Horseman riding through Sleepy Hollow as of just as far as a ghost story is concerned. I will get to a story about a Headless Horseman.
Okay.
That's not in Sleepy Hollow. But there is definitely, there is no Headless Horseman ghost, unfortunately, in Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, all right. So if you go looking.
But is Sleepy Hollow haunted?
I don't know. Is it?
And this story comes to us directly from the Hudson Independent, because the Sleepy Hollow sits in the Hudson Valley area of New York. And the Hudson Valley is very much a hot spot for weird and the paranormal. The story comes to us from Maria Ann Rigriel, which I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. This article is brilliant because they were able to track down articles dating back from the Chronicles of Sleepy Hollow, which was written in the 19th century, and they were able to track down old news articles. I'm going to tell you guys, read a couple to you, one of which is Hulda the Witch. Washington Irving warned in The Legend of Sleepy Hollow that Sleepy Hollow was bewitched by a high German doctor. According to local legend, this Dr. Hulda was also a witch and was first seen in Sleepy Hollow in 1770. The minister of the old Dutch church quickly pronounced her a witch and urged the Sleepy Hollow townspeople not to associate her with her. Despite this, she healed the sick by leaving baskets that she, like many witches, woven herself, filled with healing herbs at their doorstep. People were grateful and left her gifts at the door of her own hut at Spook Rock. And that place is Spooky Rock, we're going to call it. I don't like that so much. Isolated from townspeople socially, she survived by trading with the Native Americans. She died in a battle fighting the British in the Revolutionary War, and her body was found in the woods, which is now called Rockefeller Preserve. According to legend, soldiers originally planned to leave her body there to decompose, but changed her mind and took her to Spooky Rock. There they found a Bible and some gold that was willed to the widows of the soldiers who fought in the Revolution. Ultimately, Hulda was buried in an unmarked grave at the north side of the old Dutch church. And then there's the other one, The Legend of the Raven or Spooky Rock. There are several ghost stories that have to do with Spooky Rock, an actual rock situated in the eastern side of Rockefeller State Park, next to the Sawmill River Parkway. And this is actually found in the Legend of Sleepy Hollow book. And one of the stories is this publication mentions two legends, the tale of an Indian girl who roams the area laminating her death at Spooky Rock by a jealous lover, and the ghost of a colonial girl who tried to escape some harassment of a Troy raider during the Revolution by jumping to her death. Another legend pertains to the story, a story of Stargirl, a supernatural Native American woman who met a local hunter at Spooky Rock and took him on as a lover, ultimately having a baby with him. A few years later, she disappeared, and as a result, the little boy refused to eat and died of starvation. The hunter buried his son in a grave by the Panico River and sat by the river all night crying and then disappeared himself. After 3 years had gone by, Stargirl returned and searched unsuccessfully for her lover and son. It is said even to this day, on a clear spring night, one can stand on the banks of the Panico River and still hear Stargirl crying out for her lover and child. Spooky stuff.
For sure.
Yes. Spooky. I was waiting for you to chime in there.
No, I'm listening to the next thing.
There, even in the Hudson Valley area, it's not just, you know, mentioned as ghosts, but also UFO sightings.
Yeah.
Back even in on September 8th of this year, there was a UFO sighting right over the Hudson Valley area with a wonderfully clear image and just really bizarre recordings done there of white noise above mic points. And they consider this area a very much a window area. In the world of paranormal, we consider a window area a very thin place between the living and the dead. Finally, Washington Irving might have wrote the story of Sleepy Hollow as a paranormal kind of, you know, paranormal fictional story.
Yeah.
But Washington Irving himself, you know, even though he was a writer of this, was also very much a in-tune person with the paranormal and had a ghost sighting himself. So he was a very much an enthusiast and, you know, wrote about this story way back in 1881. And he talks about a haunted ship, or a true story as far as it goes. And Irving wrote in this, you know, in this story, they wrote this article back in 1881 where he sees himself a ship that was once ran by a captain that sits upon the Hudson River to, you know, that you can go out and see.
Yeah.
And Washington Irving was one of the people that was, that looked out over the river and saw a ghost ship.
Hmm. The whole thing.
Yeah. So you've
not
heard
just
of
the
like
pirate.
Ghost chains or yeah. ghost trains or ghost cars.
Yep.
This was an actual ghost boat and not the trip in Wisconsin Dells you can go and take. I might have made one person laugh at that. Finally, even though the story of the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow is a fictional story, doesn't mean there's not a ghost sighting of a Headless Horseman. Not in Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
But right here in Chicago.
Really?
And this is from the, it's called The Headless Horseman of 49th Street. And according to legend, the ghost specter of a cavalryman died July 7th, 1894, during the bloody riots that resulted when Pullman workers went on strike to protest their boss being, shall we say, a not very good person and lowered their pay. Things did get rough on the 49th Street that night, and during the riots, this individual had unfortunately perished. And to this day, on the, you know, right on 49th and Ashland, or right near 49th and Loomis, there is the story that there is a headless cavalryman who rides up and down that area to this day. And that story comes to us from Mysterious Chicago.
Mm. So you're saying that it should be the legend of Chicago, basically, with this ghost entity roaming the streets.
Yes.
Yeah. So we just got this. We got the places mixed up here, Bob.
So Washington Irving wrote the story about the Headless Horseman ride in Sleepy Hollow, when in reality,
different places.
It was the legend of the Headless Horseman up and down the Pullman.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I mean, there's still a legend at the end of the day, right? I mean, doesn't matter where the place is at, there is a legend to be told there. But learned a lot of new facts here tonight, Bob.
What's that?
Learned a lot of whole new facts here about the Headless Horseman.
Absolutely.
I got to go back and watch those Disney cartoons now.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Count Panic, do you have any final words, some Halloween words to say to the crowd?
You know, the veil is at its thinnest here, folks, as we get closer to October 31st. And once you have a very happy one, have a safe one, no matter what you're doing. And I got to tell you, Bob, I've been wearing this for the past 2 hours now. And I why do they make Halloween costumes so uncomfortable?
I'm impressed that you wore that for 2 hours.
Two hours with this.
This was a long episode.
It's tough.
But it was good.
What was your, before we go, what was your favorite Halloween costume that you wore?
Probably my Ghostbusters uniform.
But that's normal wear for you, right?
Yeah, but I still wear it on Halloween.
Okay.
In my Halloween costume for many years.
There you go.
It'll always stand out to me. Probably my favorite as a kid. I don't know. That's a tough one. When is John Constantine once? When I was like 16.
Well,
that
how
one
about
will stand
that?
Out to me.
That's trendy.
I was Sherlock. There we go. Here's a good one. I was Sherlock Holmes when I was about 5 years old. My mother made me an actual Sherlock Holmes costume, and I went to school with a pipe and everything.
Wow.
And I was Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock
from,
Bob.
Yeah, I was Sherlock Holmes when I was about five or six. So I was a kindergarten or first grade.
You got to bring that back one Halloween.
I don't think I would fit in it anymore, but truth be told, my mother made me a legitimate Sherlock Holmes costume.
Well, that's nice.
That one will always
very
stand
nice.
Out to me. How about you? What was your favorite Halloween costume?
I think my Macho Man Randy Savage costume was my favorite one.
When was that?
I just turned 21, so I was hitting the bars. Just like Macho Man Randy Savage. Snapped into a Slim Jim. And
Slim Jim, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast.
Yeah. But yes, have a happy and safe Halloween. Always check your candy before biting into it.
Folks, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Bob After Dark. And as the veil begins to get really thin, remember, folks, that our loved ones that have passed are going to be coming over very soon. Leave out an extra chair for them to sit in this holiday season, and maybe leave out a little offering for them. not every paranormal experience is a bad one, folks. So I want you guys to enjoy it and think about the spiritual background of the history of Halloween. I want you kids to be very safe this season, too. And while you're getting your candy, make sure you're getting it well. And make sure you guys are checking out before you eat. And make sure you guys are being very, very safe this Halloween. COVID's still a thing that's going around. I don't want that to ruin the holiday for you guys, but I just want you to all remain safe. And for the folks that are sticking around and staying home, this episode will be out by Halloween, so maybe you're listening to us on Samhain itself. Bless Samhain to you. Happy Halloween, and stay spooky. Good night, Mom and Dad, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.